Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you for joining us once again as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we can continue here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. And we're starting verse number 8 today, which says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So the Apostle Paul had, in the previous verse, talked about how they were in samples, they were a pattern unto these individuals, and now he's going to start speaking about how this pattern actually works out from this local assembly. And he starts this idea here, he says, "For from you," and how the whole focus of things is really to be on the local assembly itself, and how that is where all of the functioning is supposed to be. And you know, this is one of those things that a lot of individuals who understand the dispensation of the grace of God, they have a good understanding about the importance of that local assembly. It is that we meet together. Why it is that it is so important to support the local assembly. Unfortunately, there are others who would rather put their focus, you know, not on the local assembly that they have, but trying to build up these national, you know, movements or national entities, which, you know, they, while they do have an importance, they do not have the true functioning of what's supposed to happen, of where the local assembly is where everything is supposed to be starting from. The local assembly is that, you know, family unit where everything goes from, of where that responsibility that the local assembly has to evangelize their local community, spreading the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone is what is for salvation today. The local assembly teaches that message. Then once individuals have received that message, then you have the issues of the edification, the building up of the members of that local assembly, the exhortation or the encouragement that is supposed to be happening, and then the eldership, that thing of raising up that next generation of individuals who are going to be the leaders of that assembly, continuing out so that way the grace message can continue to be preached during this dispensation. That's the responsibility that the local assembly has. You know, that's not the responsibility of a giant national organization. It's the responsibility that the local assembly has. That's the thing of what you're seeing the assembly at Thessalonica is actually doing, and how they were functioning as that pattern. And you know, for those who have local assemblies in their area and, you know, choose to not support them in the way that they should, you know, one of the things to really remember is that there are a lot of individuals who don't have a local assembly in their area, who are almost what we call those stranded grace believers, who are really only functioning through, you know, while listening to other assemblies who are trying to get this message out as they're working on trying to build something up in their local community. The responsibility is that they are to be functioning properly. And that's why the Apostle Paul can really start talking about how it's for from you, that it's from this group of believers that everything is going to go forth from, because they are functioning properly as God intends for the local assembly to function. And we can see how in our text it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." So it's the word that's coming from them. It's not, you know, their own philosophy. It's not their own thought process that's coming out. It's the things of the word of God that's coming out of this local assembly that's being sounded out, so that way individuals can see the word of God and the effect that it's having on this local assembly, on the community as a whole, as they're functioning properly. Because it's the word of God that really can only do the things that are needed. In fact, let's go over to Romans chapter number 10. Because we're going to see what the Apostle Paul says here about the word of God here in Romans chapter number 10. We're going to read verse number 17, which says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, it's the word of God which is actually going to produce faith in an individual. Once a person has received salvation, they've put their trust in the gospel, then the word of God can actually start to work in them. It can start to produce the faith that's needed, the faith that you see talked about in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about without faith it is impossible to please God. An individual needs to have that faith in order to be pleasing to God. And the only way that a person can have the faith that's being spoken of is by the fact that they have the word of God. They've received what the word is saying. And when we talk about receiving the word of God, we always have to remember that, you know, receiving the word of God comes in the issue of right division and understanding exactly what information is given to us. And we know that the information is for today is the things that are written in the Apostle Paul's writings, which starts in the book of Romans and ends with the book of Philemon. And those 13 epistles are truly what are the doctrine for today. And those are the things that are going to build up the faith that's needed in order to be pleasing unto God. Now, we see how the word becomes the focus of things. Let's go over to the book of 2 Timothy for a moment. And you see in 2 Timothy where Paul is writing his final epistle, and he's starting to deal with some things with Timothy to encourage him to not fall away like other individuals have been doing. And he will point to the fact that all that are in Asia have turned away from him. He points out and he starts naming individuals who have walked away from him, that they've loved this present world, they've forsaken the Apostle Paul, one of those even being Titus, who was an individual that he had ministered to. And you can find a lot of information in the scriptures talking about the ministry that the Apostle Paul had with Titus, and how Titus took all those things. He was with Paul, he ministered with him, he spread this message, and then something happened to where he faded away and is no longer teaching the things of the word. That's why you see things of Paul talk about how the responsibility that we have, for example, what I read in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy here, where it says in verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." So this information that's been given to them, they're to hold fast, they're to be clinging to this truth, Because this is what is going to give them the information they need to be doing the things that God intends. This is what this assembly in Thessalonica was doing. That's why you see the things that, you know, when we get into chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, we'll see how it starts talking about how they took everything that they were hearing from the Apostle Paul and were receiving it not as the words of men, but they were receiving it as the word of God, and they were allowing it to work in them, which was producing the faith that they needed. You see in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, where it starts to talk about committing this unto other individuals. And we read verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2, where it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So they were to take this information that they had received, the things that Paul talks about, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, where they are receiving it as the word of God, the things that he is identifying as sound words, they were to take these things and commit it unto other individuals who were going to go out and teach this message to others. And the same thing would keep happening to where, so they would teach it to other individuals, these people would take that message, and then they would go out and start teaching it to other individuals. And the message of the dispensation of the grace of God, the gospel that was committed unto the Apostle Paul, this message would go out and have an impact on the world as God intended it to happen. Now you see in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy where the Apostle Paul actually lays out some things of how when the local assembly stops functioning the way that it's supposed to, and the last days of this dispensation are approaching, he starts laying out all of these different things that are going to start happening. And I know a lot of people take this passage and just talk about how this is describing the things of this world. Well, if it was just describing the things of this world, the problem would be that that's always what this world could be described as. There's no thing of that thing where it says about that the perilous times shall come, because it would already be here, because all of those things that are laid out are actually going on in the world today. They're not going on in the local assemblies today. What's going to happen is, as the last days are approaching, individuals turning themselves away from the Word of God, and are going to start functioning in a manner that looks exactly like the things of this world, and all of those things are going to start being present there. Now, Paul gives that warning in chapter number 3, and in chapter number 4, what he does is gives, okay, this is what is going to happen. However, this is what you're going to need to do in order to prevent those things from actually happening. And that's where he starts here. We're going to start right at verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And we see the Apostle Paul, as he's giving this charge, the very first part of this charge is the fact that they were to preach the word. It comes back to the issue of the word being where all of the focus is going to be. Now, I want to go over here to the book of Philemon. Now, there's only one chapter in the book of Philemon, so we're going to look here. I want to read verse number 6 of the book of Philemon. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, the only things that are good of us is the fact that we're in Christ, because there's nothing good of ourselves that would be considered good in the eyes of God. But we see this issue, the communication of thy faith. That the whole issue is that our lifestyle, because that's really what the idea of communication is the fact that we're acknowledging our position in Christ, and as a result of our acknowledgement of the position that we have in Christ, that we understand through the Word of God that we are living the lifestyle that individuals are, you know, looking at and can see as that pattern. Now, back in our text, we see it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord," and says, "not only in Macedonia and Achaia." So the Apostle Paul is now going to take it from the fact that everything about them is going beyond just those two places where he says, "You are in samples to all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And he's going to say, it's not only to them, but it's going to go much beyond those places. In fact, you see how the Apostle Paul, when he starts talking about the local assemblies, that there's a description of them in this type of manner. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 1. The first epistle that's laid out in the order of the scriptures. And we're going to see how the Apostle Paul talks to this local assembly here in verse 8 of Romans chapter number 1, when it says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." The faith of this local assembly was spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, this is a group of believers that the Apostle Paul has never even met. And when you read through this epistle, you see how Paul is identifying the fact that he has never met the individuals who are part of this assembly. And yet the fact that they haven't even met, he is saying that, okay, there are things that I'm hearing of you. I'm hearing the demonstration of the fact that you are living the life that God intends. You are demonstrating this faith, and this is exactly what God would intend of any believer. Now, I want to go over here to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Now, we're going to go to the second epistle that's recorded for us to this church at Thessalonica, and we're going to see how he's going to say something about them again here. And we're going to read here in chapter number 1. We'll read verses 3 and 4 here. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." So here he is talking about how all of the churches, all of these local assemblies, there's a glory that comes to them because of the fact that this local assembly is standing for the truth, is standing in the faith that's been given to them, is doing the right thing, And in fact, even throughout all these persecutions and tribulations that this assembly is enduring, they're remaining true and faithful to the message that's been given to them. And this is something that, you know, for us as believers, it truly is a glorious thing to know that there are local assemblies that are standing for the truth of God's word. Now, it would be great if there were many more assemblies, you know, and having multiple assemblies doing this in every community would actually be fantastic, because it would mean that more and more people were actually receiving the message of the dispensation of the grace of God. But it's truly a glorious thing to even think about the fact that there are assemblies that are standing for the truth, that are standing for this gospel that's been given to us, that have the understanding, that are able to communicate this understanding, to be functioning as that pattern and example to other individuals and to other assemblies on how to live the life that God intends. We see, let's go over to Colossians chapter number 4. And we're going to see here the Apostle Paul talking about how these assemblies have an influence on each other. Let's read in chapter number 4, we're going to read verse number 16, where it says, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." So, as he's writing to this assembly in Colossae and telling them that, okay, I've given you this information, this doctrine that you need to apply to your lives, he's saying, make sure that this other local assembly is going to actually read and understand exactly what the Word of God is saying to them. And then he's saying, okay, that not only are you to do that, but you're going to likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, that's one of those things where individuals really kind of twist around exactly what is meant by that, because they say, well, there's no, you know, there's no Laodiceans epistle in our scriptures. Well, it doesn't say it's an epistle to the Laodiceans. It says it's an epistle from Laodicea. So there's information that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in Laodicea that he's intending for this church at Colossae. While they're giving out the information that was given to them, they were to also receive this other information that was considered to be doctrine and having it have an impact on them. Now, we know that whatever it is that's being made a reference to here would have to be part of the epistles that we have, because we have a completed Word of God. We have all the doctrine that's been given to us. So one of these epistles is the one that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to say, this is what needs to be read and understood among the individuals. The local assemblies having that impact. And that's really where, you know, it's good when, you know, local assemblies are able to work together to do certain things, because, you know, different assemblies have, you know, an excess of, you know, where they might have an abundance of something in one area, have a lack somewhere else. There typically is a local assembly that has the same thing, or the opposite of it, to where they have an abundance of what another assembly lacks and may lack what that other assembly has. So as the assemblies are functioning together, they would be able to have that influence on each other, be able to get this message out, which is what the whole responsibility that we have is. The Apostle Paul saw that his responsibility was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. His responsibility wasn't to fight with other members of the body of Christ. His responsibility was not to you know, well, I can't have anything to do with you because we disagree on some minor issue, and, you know, we might even have two or three assemblies in the same area, but we can't even function together because we have these minor disagreements, even though our functioning together would further the idea of making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's not what the Apostle Paul ever intended. That's not what we see here from this church in Thessalonica. They were functioning properly. They were functioning as that pattern to allow other individuals to fully understand exactly what the doctrine is for us today. Now, in our next episode, we're going to continue looking here at verse number 8. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live, watching it on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. We have a couple of events that are coming up. We have a picnic that will be happening in the early part of August. There should be information posted on our website related to this at some point during this week, and we'll keep that updated as well as more information is available about that event. And we also will be having a seminar in the early part of October, which will be the first weekend of October. And as we get the details of that finalized, they'll be up on our website as well. So you'll keep checking our website for, you know, further information related to those two events. And as always, remember, if you ever have any questions or comments about anything you hear in these episodes or anything that you ever read on our website, you know, feel free to contact us through any of the means that are listed there. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.